It took an age, but I slipped through them, never going closer to an enemy than 20 paces. And once past them I was in the marsh, and there the tussocks offered shadow, and I could move faster, wriggling through slime and shallow water. And the only scare came when I startled a bird from its nest, and it leapt into the air with a cry of alarm and a swift whirr of wings. I sensed the Danes staring toward the marsh, but I was motionless, black and unmoving in the broken shadow, and after a while there was only silence. I waited, water seeping through my mail, and I prayed to Hodur, blind son of Odin and god of the night. "Look after me," I prayed. And I wished I had made a sacrifice to Hodur, but I had not, and I thought that Eldwulf would be looking down at me, and I vowed to make him proud. I was doing what he had always wanted me to do, carrying serpent breath against the Danes. I worked my way eastward, behind the sentries going to where the ships were beached. No grey showed in the eastern sky. I still went slowly, staying on my belly, going slowly enough for the fears to work on me. I was aware of a muscle quivering in my right thigh, of a thirst that could not be quenched, of a sourness in the bowels. I kept touching Serpent Breath's hilt, remembering the charms that Eldwulf and Breeder had worked on the blade. "Never," Ravan had said, "never fight Ubba." The east was still dark. I crept on, close to the sea now, so I could gaze up at the wide Sefern and see nothing except the shimmer of the sinking moon on the rippled water that looked like a sheet of hammered silver. The tide was flooding, the muddy shore narrowing as the sea rose. There would be salmon in the Pedradon, I thought. Salmon swimming with the tide, going back to the sea. And I touched the sword hilt, for I was close to the strip of firm land where the hovels stood and the ship guards waited. My thigh shivered. I felt sick. But blind Hodur was watching over me. The ship guards were no more alert than their comrades at the hill's foot. And why should they be? They were farther from Odda's forces, and they expected no trouble. Indeed, they were there only because the Danes never left their ships unguarded, and these shipguards had mostly gone into the fishermen's hovels to sleep, leaving just a handful of men sitting by the small fires. Those men were motionless, probably half asleep, though one was pacing up and down beneath the high prows of the beached ships. I stood. I had shadow walked, but now I was on Danish ground, behind their sentries, and I undid the cloak's cords, took it off and wiped the mud from my mail, and then walked openly toward the ships, my boots squelching in the last yards of marshland. And then I just stood by the northernmost boat, threw my helmet down in the shadow of the ship, and waited for the one Dane who was on his feet to discover me. And what would he see? A man in mail, a lord, a shipmaster, a Dane. And I leaned on the ship's prow and stared up at the stars. My heart thumped, my thigh quivered, and I thought that if I died this morning, at least I would be with Ragnar again. I would be with him in Valhalla's Hall of the Dead. Except some men believed that those who did not die in battle went instead to Niflheim, that dreadful cold hell of the Norsemen, where the corpse goddess Hel stalks through the mists, and the serpent corpse ripper slithers across the frost to gnaw the dead. But surely, I thought, a man who died in a hall burning would go to Valhalla, not to Grey Niflheim. Surely Ragnar was with Odin. And then I heard the Dane's footsteps, and I glanced at him with a smile. "A chilly morning," I said. "It is." He was an older man with a grizzled beard, and he was plainly puzzled by my sudden appearance. But he was not suspicious.